الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد فقال جل وعلا ألم نشرح لك صدرك.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Over the past few weeks, all the talks have been regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the first week, we looked at the status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A status which is equal to none other. A status which is second to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second week, we looked at the mercy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How kind and how merciful our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And last week, we looked at the character and the person of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an example, a model for every person of every profession in the world. Let us now begin to look at the major events of importance which took place in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, beginning today with the splitting of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart. Before I even begin, I must make it clear that it is possible that some of you may find the first 5 minutes of the talk difficult to understand, pending on how much Islamic knowledge you have. But bear with me as I assure you that the remaining portion of the talk is very, very easy to understand. This event, the splitting of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest and the cleansing of the heart, happened 4 times in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, living at a time in which you and I are influenced by the West, at a time in which people's iman has become weak and people find it difficult to believe in the unnatural, in the unseen. I would like to make it clear that all 4 events are proven by Sahih Hadith, authentic ahadith and ahadith mu'tabara, ahadith which can be taken as evidence, as we shall soon see later on. This is why great masters like Allama Qastalani in his book Mawahib al-Ladunniyya and Allama Zurqani in the commentary of Mawahib al-Ladunniyya write, كَثُمَّ إِنَّ جَمِيعَ مَا وَرَدْ مِنْ شَقِّ الصَّدْرِ وَإِسْتِخْرَاجِ الْكَلْبِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ من الأمور الخارقة للأعدة مما يجب التسليم له دون التعرض لصرفه عن حقيقته لصلاحية القدرة، فلا يستحيل شيء من ذلك. هكذا قال القرطبي في المفهم، والتيبي والدوربشتي والحافظ في الفتح والسيوطي وغيرهم، ويؤيده الحديث الصحيح أنهم كانوا يرون أثر المخية في صدره صلى الله عليه وسلم. Great masters like Allama Qastalani and Allama Zulkarnain write that all this that has been related referring to the splitting of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's chest and taking out of the heart and cleansing of the heart and matters and events of this nature, they write مِمَّا يَجِبُ التَّسْلِيمُ لَهُ. It is wajib, it is compulsory on every Muslim to believe in this as it has been related and take the literal meaning. Why? لِصَلَاحِيَةِ الْقُدْرَةِ فَلَا يَسْتَحِيلُ شَيْءٌ مِّن ذَلِكَ. As nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Great masters like Imam Qurtubi, Allama Tibi, Allama Turbashti, the great master Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, Jalaluddin Suyuti and others have all mentioned the same. The first time, my brothers and sisters, this event took place was when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only a child and being fostered and nursed and weaned by Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, as is proven by many ahadith, like the hadith of Utbah ibn Abd, which can be found in Al-Mustadrak lil-Hakim, regarding which Imam Hakim himself and Imam Zahabi are of the opinion that this is a sahih hadith, an authentic hadith. The hadith of Abu Zar, regarding which Allama Zurkani says, كَيْ لَا شَكَّ فِي صِحَتِهِ, that there is no doubt whatsoever that this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sahih. As Hafiz Ziyahuddin in Al-Mukhtara, his book Al-Mukhtara, has said that this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sahih. The third hadith is of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an. All the narrators of this hadith are sound. The fourth hadith is of Hazrat ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. The fifth is of Hazrat Shaddad ibn Aws radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the sixth hadith is of Hazrat Khalid ibn Ma'dan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So as we can see that this event, this first event which took place when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only a child and being fostered and nursed by Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiyallahu ta'ala anha, is proven by many authentic ahadith. Let us now begin with how this event took place, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the care of Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and how she became the foster mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will explain the hadith as I go along, bringing in many narrations at the same time. Hazrat Halima radiyallahu ta'ala anha narrates, قَدِمْتُ مَكَّةَ فِي نِسْوَةٍ مِّن بَنِي سَعْدِ بْنِ بَكْرٍ نَلْتَمِسُ الرَّضَعَ. Hazrat Halima radiyallahu ta'ala anha relates that I left for Mecca with my husband and little son whom she was nursing at the time among the women of her tribe Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr, in search of children, in search of other babies to nurse. So far in this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three people have been mentioned. The first being Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The second, her husband. And the third, her son. Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiyallahu ta'ala anha was the foster mother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had great love for his foster mother. When she came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after prophethood, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on seeing his foster mother, spread his sheet for her and embraced his mother, exclaiming, Ya Ummah, Ya Ummah, O my mother, O my mother. Her husband was Harith, and he also embraced Islam. And her son, which is mentioned in this hadith, was the foster brother of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah. Abdullah used to say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh my brother, is the Prophet going to rise?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to Abdullah, "By him in whose hands my life is in, O Abdullah, I shall hold your hand on the day of resurrection, and surely I shall recognize you." When Abdullah embraced Islam, he would sit and he would cry and he would weep and he would say, "I hope that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam holds my hand on the day of resurrection and I attain salvation." Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha set from Makkah with her husband Harith and her baby son Abdullah in search of other babies, in search of children to nurse. It was customary in those days that children of rich and noble houses were sent out to the countryside to be nursed in a free, in a pure atmosphere. Women from the countryside, outside Mecca, outside the Haram, would visit Mecca twice a year, in spring and autumn, looking for children to nurse. These women would come, they would take the children back with them, they would nurse them, and once they had finished, they would return the children to their parents. The reason the well-to-do in the towns and cities gave their children in their charge was so that the young ones learned chaste Arabic and preserved the culture and the characteristics of the Arab race. In the hadith, "Ana a'rabukum, ana min Qurayshin, wasturdi'tu fi bani Sa'd ibn Bakr." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has said that he owed his pure language and eloquence to his upbringing amongst the tribe of Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr, the tribe of Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this custom of sending the young ones to the countryside so they learn pure and chaste Arabic and preserve the characteristics of the Arab race and the Arab culture was kept long alive even after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even in the days of the Umayyads, when the seat of the government had been shifted to Dimashq, to Damascus, the princes were generally brought up in the countryside in Bedouin homes. And out of all the Umayyad Khalif, Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, for certain reasons, was the only one that could not be sent into the country, into the countryside. And thus he, out of all the Umayyad Khalif, was the only prince who could not speak correct Arabic. So Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, because of this custom, says, "قَدِمْتُ مَكَّةَ فِي نِسْوَةٍ مِّن بَنِي سَعْدِ بْنِ بَكْرٍ نَلْتَمِسُ الرَّضْعَى فِي سَنَةٍ شَهْبَى أَلَا أَتَانٍ لِي وَمَعِي سَبِيٌّ لَنَا وَشَارِفٌ لَنَا وَاللَّهِ مَا تَبِدُّ بِقَطْرَةٍ وما ننام ليلنا ذلك أجمع مع سبينا ذاك لا يجد في سديه ما يغذي ولا في شارفنا ما يغذي." She says that "I came to Mecca with some women belonging to the tribe of Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr. And this was a year of famine when they were destitute. She was riding a dusky she-donkey which had kept all the riders back due to its weakness, and it had become a nuisance to them. She had with her a very old she camel, regarding which she says, 'Wallahi ma tabiddu biqatratin.' Such was the state of this she camel that it did not yield a drop of milk, and thus due to hunger they could not sleep. And their child Abdullah, who she was also nursing at the time, would cry all night due to hunger. Why? لا يجد في سديه ما يغذي ولا في شارفنا ما يغذي. Nor did she have sufficient milk to give him, and nor could the she camel provide enough to satisfy him. These were the hardships Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha and her family were going through. Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha thereafter relates, فَقَدِمْنَا مَكَّةَ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا عُلِمَتْ مِنَّا إِمْرَأَةٌ إِلَّا وَقَدْ أُرِذَ عَلَيْهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَتَأْبَى إِذْ قِيلَ إِنَّهُ يَتِيمٌ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. She says, we reached Mecca and we began to look out for children to foster. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offered to each and every one of us. And each and every one of us refused to take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offered to us. When we were told that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan. Why? Inna kunna narju al-ma'ruf min abi al-sabil. Because we hope to receive a payment from the child's father once we had finished nursing the child. And when we were told that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a yateen, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan, we would say, ma asa an tasna ummuhu wahda. What will his mother and grandfather be able to do for us? They will not manage. And thus, we refuse Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my brothers, what did the women of Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr know at the time? Little did they know that this child that they are refusing is not an ordinary child. Little did they know how special this child was. Little did they know at the time that this child is not a yatim, is not an orphan, but the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has taken the responsibility of his upbringing, and Allah himself will reward those who take care of him. Little did they know at the time that this child held the keys to Jannah, the keys to eternal success. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presented to each and every woman, but each and every woman from the tribe of Banu Sa'd ibn Bakr refused Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refused to foster and take care of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fearing that his mother will not be able to manage to help them. Hazrat Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا بَقِيَ مِنْ سَوَاحِبِ إِمْرَأَةٌ إِلَّا أَخَذَتْ رَضِيعًا غَيْرِ. That all the women that I had come with, they had found a child to foster for themselves beside me. And they were ready to depart. فَلَمَّا لَمْ أَدِدْ غَيْرَ. When I could not find anyone besides Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I said to my husband, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَرْجِعَ مِنْ بَيْنِ صَوَاحِبِي لَيْسَ مَعِي رَضِيٌّ. I said to my husband, by Allah, I do not like the idea of returning with my friends without a suckling, without a child to foster. لَأَنْطَرِكَنَّ إِلَى ذَلِكَ الْيَتِيمِ فَلَأَخُذَنَّهُ. That I will definitely go to that yateen, to that orphan, and I will definitely take this child. She says, my husband said, لَا عَلَيْكَ أَنْ تَفْعَلِي أَصَلَّهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ لَنَا فِيكَ أَصَلَّهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ لَنَا فِيهِ بَرَكَ. That my husband said, O Halima, do as you please. Perhaps Allah will bless us on this account. She says, so I went and took him for the sole reason that I could not find anyone besides him. She says, فَذَهَبْتُ فَإِذَنْ بِهِ مُدْرَجٌ فِي ثَوْبِ سُوفٍ أَبْيَضْ مِنَ اللَّبَنِ يَفُوحُ مِنْهُ الْمِسْكُ وَتَحْتَهُ هَرِيرَةٌ خَضْرَاءُ رَاقِدٌ عَلَى كَفَاءُ. That I took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The child was wrapped in wool, and he was more whiter than milk, and the smell of musk was diffusing from him. and he was sleeping, lying down on his back. He was so beautiful. فَأَشْفَقْتُ أَنْ أُوْقِذَهُ مِنْ نَوْمِهِ لِحُسْنِهِ وَجَمَالِهِ. And I didn't find it appropriate to wake him up from his sleep due to his remarkable beauty. I came close to him, فَوَضَعْتُ يَدِي عَلَى صَدْرِهِ, and I placed my hand on his chest, and the child began to smile. And he opened his eyes to look at me, and when he looked at me, فَخَرَجَ مِنْ عَيْنَيْهِ نُورٌ حَتَّى دَخَلَ قِلَالَ السَّمَاءُ وَأَنَا أَنْظُرُ. A noor came out of his eyes, a light came out of his eyes, and this light entered the heavens as I was watching. As soon as she picked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, from Halima became Halima Sa'diya, Halima the fortunate one. And her life completely changed, and she began to see the blessings of taking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When she came, she had no milk to give to her own flesh and blood, to her own son Abdullah. But as soon as she took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as she picked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her chest overflowed with milk. She relates, I gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam my right side, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank till he was satisfied. She then gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam her left side, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to drink from the left. The ulama regarding this have said, كَأَلْهَمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنَّ لَهُ شَرِيكًا فَأَلْأَمَهُ الْعَجْلَ. The ulama have written that at that age, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only a few days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught to be just, knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the foster brother, and that child Abdullah is still yet to drink. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to drink from the left. She says they both drank, and then they both slept. فَقَامَ صَاحِبِي إِلَى شَارِفِنَا تِلْكَ فَإِذَنْ أَنَّهَا لَحَافِلٌ. She says, my husband thereafter went to the old she-camel, the very same she-camel which had not a drop of milk inside its udder. She says, to our surprise, my husband found that her udders were full of milk. He milked it, and he and I drank of milk until I and he were completely satisfied. وَبِثْنَا بِخَيْرِ لَيْلَةٍ, and we passed a very happy night. In the morning, my husband said to me, O Halima, Ya Halima, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَرَاكْ قَدْ أَخِسْتِ نِسْمَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ أَلَمْ تَرَ مَا بِثْنَا بِهِ اللَّيْلَ مِنَ الْبَرَكَةِ وَالْخَيْرِ حِينَ أَخَذْنَا. Said, O Halima, by Allah, I think that you have taken a very blessed child. And how true Harith, the foster of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father, was when he said, إِنِّي لَأَرَاكَ قَدْ أَخِذْتِ نِسْمَةً مُبَارَكَةً, that you have taken a very blessed child. He and his wife and the Sahaba thereafter witnessed how blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, and the blessings that came with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are hundreds and hundreds of ahadith regarding this matter. In the hadith narrated by Imam Muslim on the authority of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, كَجِئْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمًا فَوَجَدْتُهُ جَالِسًا مَا أَصْحَابِهِ يُحَدِّثُهُمْ وَقَدْ أَصَبَ بَطْنَهُ بِعَصَابَةٍ. That one day I visited Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and found Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in, talking to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een, while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stomach was tied with a bandage. On saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's stomach was tied with a bandage, I asked the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een, لِمَا أَصَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَثْنَهُ. Why has Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bandaged his stomach? They replied, من الجوع. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done this to relieve himself, to relieve his hunger. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I immediately went to Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu and informed Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's situation. Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu in turn came to my mother and asked my mother, Hal min shay'in? Is there anything to eat? My mother replied, Indi kithrun min khubzin wa tamarat. That I have some pieces of bread and dates. فَإِنْ جَاءَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَحْدَى أَشْبَعْنَا وَإِنْ جَاءَنَا مَا أَحُوْ بِأَحَدٍ قَلَّ أَنْهُ. That if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes alone, then we can feed him, and this little food that we have will be sufficient for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings somebody with him, then this food that we have will not be sufficient for them. Now Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, on hearing this, Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to me, go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and stand close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves the gathering and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu disperse and return to their houses, and when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is all alone, follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my father is inviting you. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, فَفَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ. That I did what Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu told me to do. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was all alone, I told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my father is inviting you. But he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called his companions and said to them, Ya ha'ulai ta'alu, come, Abu Talha has invited us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took my hand and advanced with his companions. He says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was close to the house, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam let go of my hand. I entered, وَأَنَا حَزِينٌ لِكَثْرَةِ مَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ. And I was upset because of the amount of people that had come. And I said, Ya Abata, قَدْ كُلْتُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَلَّذِي كُلْتَ لِي. O Abba, I told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what you told me to say to him. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has called his companions and they are all coming to our house. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to greet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّمَا أَرْسَلْتُ أَنَسًا لِيَدْؤُكَ وَحْدَكَ. Ya Rasulullah, I sent Anas only to invite you alone. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدِي مَا يُشْبِعُ مَنْ أَرَى. And Ya Rasulullah, I do not have enough to feed all these people that I see. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Talha, وَأَبُو طَلْحَ أُدْخُلْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُبَارِكْ فِي مَا عِهْدَكَ. O Abu Talha, do not worry, as Allah will give barakah in your food. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu to gather the little food they had. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for barakah and then said to Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, allow 8 guests to come in and have their meal. 8 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in came and ate till they're full. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let another 8 come. Another 8 came and they ate to their full. Like this, 8 came and ate and they kept on coming till all 80 guests had eaten to their full. Though this very same food before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked like as if it will only be sufficient for one person, and now all 80 have eaten, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate from the very same food. Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala and his family ate from the very same food, and still the same amount of food was left over as they began with. In another hadith also taken up by Imam Muslim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that my mother was a mushrika, a polytheist, and I kept on inviting my mother to Islam. One day when I was telling her about Islam and the Nabi of Islam, and I was inviting her to embrace Islam, my mother expressed rudeness towards the dignity of Nabi sallallahu